I'm about to step into the De Vere Cotswold Waterpark Cirencester. It's time for the annual conference. Let's get in there and speak to people in the community. Come with me now.
Welcome back to the AMKIS podcast, brought to you by the Bonjour Agency. AMKIS is the Association for Admissions, Marketing and Communications in Independent Schools. And this is the podcast where we speak to people in the independent school sector. Let's get into this episode right now.
David Milner is about to open the conference. It looks like he's stood at the front. He's on the stage. He's taking a last sip of water.
Okay, everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much. And welcome to AMKIS 2024. It's incredible to see an absolutely jump-packed room. So thank you.
And we are go. So I've got Martin Broadhurst with me. Martin, you're giving a talk later on AI. Is that right? Tell me something about that.
That's right, yeah. Artificial intelligence, it's a hot topic right now, something that everybody's talking about across not just marketing, but business generally. It's the hottest thing in tech. So I'm hoping to share with everybody some tools and techniques for how to use it and become more productive with an AI assistant.
And is that a workshop you're doing or a keynote speech?
It's a keynote today.
Excellent. Okay, and give us a couple of the main points that you're going to be covering off in that. We won't share this before your talk, of course, but just for people who aren't here today, give us a little insight into what you're going to be talking about.
Well, we open up by talking about how popular and how much interest there is, and basically showing some graphs that show ChatGPT search volume on Google is just absolutely through the roof. In some reports from the likes of PwC, it's estimated to add an extra 16 trillion, that's trillion, to the global GDP by 2030. It's a ridiculous amount, yeah. but more moderate estimates from the likes of JP Morgan and others coming around just to 7 trillion.
Just a 7 trillion. I mean, these are phenomenal numbers. I remember someone a long time ago explaining the difference to me about the difference between a million and a billion. A million seconds is 11 days and a billion seconds is 32 years. So a billion to a trillion is the same kind of... Yeah, that's a phenomenal difference. And when it comes to marketing then in schools, tell me a bit about the main ways that that's going to change the ways that people here work.
Tools like ChatGPT and others, Google Gemini, Anthropic's Claude, these are all chatbots that you can have open on your desktop. And they effectively act as a assistant that you can just dialogue with and interface with. They can write your emails, they can copy check your emails, they can change the tone. There's all sorts of little tasks that they can pick up for you like that. And they're really great for improving individual productivity. But then beyond that, there's a whole raft of other tools that just make life easier for things that you might be doing. So, for instance, there is a tool called Descript. Descript is a video editing tool. You may have used it yourself for video.
I'm nodding because we do use it.
Yeah, video and podcasting. And it's a great tool for transcribing any audio and then just editing it like a Word document. So you don't need Adobe Premiere. You don't need to be an expert video editor to just make something that is a bit more polished and a little bit better. Canva, the non-graphic designer's graphic design tool, is packed full of AI tools that just make your life easier, from writing a little bit of copy, translating the copy into about 40 different languages, to removing that annoying coffee cup on that photo that you've got that's in the foreground. It will just edit it out for you. All of these things are just designed to make little tasks a little bit easier that everybody can use. And you don't have to be a programmer or a developer. These are things that anybody can pick up and start using today.
I love that. It's going to be a great talk, Martin. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm in one of the main coffee breakout areas, just bumped into Ian Westwood. Ian, hello. Tell me something about international student recruitment. What are the big challenges for schools right now?
Okay, so we're just dealing with visas for international students. So the challenges really are making sure you get it right. It's a long, expensive process. And the compliance side of it from UKVI can be really quite scary if you don't know what you're doing.
And you're giving a talk on this subject later on. Is this one of the workshops you're going to be doing?
It is, yes. Yeah, I'm introducing Pip, our perfect international pupil, who is just over my shoulder, although you won't be able to see that on the podcast.
Awesome. And so you run the Westwood organisation. Just tell us in a nutshell what that is.
We are an immigration compliance consultancy, making sure that our clients, particularly schools, understand the rules, can comply with the rules, and making immigration as easy as it can be.
And so what questions are there that that admissions managers are most frequently asking you right now?
Mostly it's around process, making sure that the paperwork, the digital paperwork, of course, these days, is completed appropriately.
And tell me something about VAT. I mean, you know, a lot of schools are talking about this right now. Do you see more schools looking to international students as a way to avoid the impact of VAT in the UK?
There certainly seems to be a steady increase to the number of international students we're dealing with. Whether that's typical across the market or not, I really don't know. But it's a worrying time for schools with how to go forward. And becoming competitive between schools, I've not seen that before, where a pupil's got a lot more an international pupil's got a lot more choices to where to go.
Well, Ian, I'm going to leave you to it. This is suddenly going quieter in here. The workshops are about to start. I'll see you later. Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you.
So, Tori, David gave us some big news here this morning. Just for anyone listening who wasn't here, tell us what that news is.
I'll be stepping down from AMCUS at the end of the next conference in 2025.
Gosh, okay, right. So tell me how you feel about that. I mean, how long have you been doing this for, and how do you feel about that news?
This year is my 20th year, so I've done 21 years with AMCUS. I'm ready to hand on the baton. We've come a long way. I'm very proud of where we are, but it's time for somebody else to take AMCUS to the next level.
And what's next for you then?
Retirement.
Gosh, Tori, you're far too young for that. This is early retirement, and what are you planning on doing in that time?
I'm planning to give myself more time. I'm planning to spend more time with family. I'm planning to spend more time on the ski slopes.
And walking the dog as well?
And walking my gorgeous dog.
Yeah. Very good, very good, very good. Tell us something about this conference then. What is it you're in? Well, what do you enjoy generally about the conference each year?
I enjoy very much seeing my members networking, seeing my members out of the office, out of the school environment, allowing them to learn new skills, the benefit of being here, and just taking some time out for themselves in their professional life.
Do you think that marketing managers, admissions people, do you think that over the last 20 years, the role has changed where people are now more overworked and more stressed than before, or has it changed in a different kind of way?
Oh, Simon, they are more overworked and stressed. KPIs have been thrown at everybody at every point, and it's not going to get any easier with the challenges that this sector are going to face in the next few years. You know, welfare is a massive thing for me and my members, and that's why I try to incorporate in the programme welfare sessions, which today was really, really well supported. My members, I look after members, I try to look after my members, and they are really, you know, look out for them.
Well, you try and look after them. You certainly succeed in that. The people that I talk to are testament to that, for sure. Tori, let's leave it there. I know that you're busy. This is a busy event for you, but thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So everyone's in one of the workshops right now. I'm with Graham Varndell from Metis. Graham, how are you doing?
Good. You?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Very good. So we just had the first break. What sort of feel did you get when people came down for coffee?
I think for me here, it's a relaxed feel. There's a lot of people walking around, collaborating, talking. So, yeah, relaxed, but, you know, people just, you know, talking and sharing ideas, which is what these events should be about, in my opinion.
Now you're here exhibiting and sponsoring as well. How do you get the balance right between networking with people, enjoying the event, but also, I mean, commercially, you need to make sure that you're getting a good return on the money that you're spending, frankly, to be here?
Of course. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we are here. We've got a lot of clients here. So for me, first and foremost, it's a great way of meeting those clients. If you think about it, if I was traveling to all of those clients, it would take me weeks and huge amounts of time and huge costs. So firstly, from an event perspective, that has huge value. So meeting our clients, hugely important. Secondly, from a new business perspective, I mean, we've got all the right people in the room. So talking to them, not being, what I say, over salesy, because that's not appropriate, but I think talking about what we're doing with data, showing our dashboards and all that kind of thing, it's awareness of our brand. So, you know, that's how it should be.
I like that a lot. Graham Varndell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
David, I heard your opening address at AMCUS. It's great to hear your words. How is AMCUS going, and how do you see this event panning out over the next 2 days?
Well, I think it's quite clear from the buzz in this room right now that the event is going exceptionally well. We've got record numbers here. Like I always say at any sort of conference, it's all about the networking. And I think that's something that will happen more over the next 2 days and even at the dinner tonight. I think the sector is facing a rough patch at the moment, but also a few years ahead. But this is a great opportunity for everyone to really share their frustrations, but ideas and best practices. And I think that's what people will get out of this conference, as well as obviously all the great speakers and all of the workshops that are happening over the next 2 days.
And did I hear you say earlier that there's nearly 300 people here?
Over 300 people.
Over 300?
Yeah, over 300 people here. We've got 285 people, which is capacity for the dinner this evening. And we've got around 70 day delegates. So yes, it's a packed room.
Amazing, amazing times. Great to be here. David, thank you very much. So I'm at Open Applies exhibition stand. I've got Alistair here. Alistair, what is it you do for the company?
I work in implementation, so getting new customers onboarded and up and running with the platform.
And how are you finding this whole event going? What's it like exhibiting here?
That's lovely. Really lovely venue. Really lovely people. Great to meet some existing customers who I've only ever been able to meet online. It's great to see everyone here. Beautiful venue, beautiful time of year. Any excuse to come out to the Cotswolds as well. And I'm really enjoying myself, yeah.
And in a nutshell, Open Apply, what does it actually do?
End-to-end admissions. So taking parents through the entire journey from that very first interaction with the school, reaching out, be it that random email, be it spontaneously walking in, taking parents from that starting point and taking them through the entire journey right the way through to and beyond enrollment at the school as well.
Nice nutshell. I like that. Alistair, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I've just caught Amber Wager. Amber, you're giving a talk after lunch. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I work for an organisation called ASEN, the African Caribbean Education Network, and I'm going to be talking about diversity in schools and how you can attract a more diverse clientele into your schools.
So give us a sneak peek into what you're going to be talking about. What are some of the main points?
So I'm going to be talking about the key touch points that marketing and admissions should be looking at. But really, fundamentally, I'm going to be looking at the ethos of the school and then how that spreads through the whole school and then ultimately authentically through how they speak to potential clients.
I remember talking to somebody at lunchtime one time in a school, and she was explaining to me that she nearly didn't join the school when she was when she went for the interview, because when she looked on the website, she saw no people of colour on the website, and that raised a few alarm bells for her. She did end up joining the school, and she discovered that the website wasn't reflecting. Yeah, exactly. What do you think in terms of marketing people can be doing more of?
That's what my presentation is about. But basically, representation is obviously key, not only in the media, but in the physical representation in the school, both in the staff and in the student body. That's potentially a whole nother presentation. But it's really about being authentically representing values in the school, about encouraging diversity, extolling the virtues of diversity, and then representing it in, it's not necessarily the volume of representation, it's the placement and the quality of representation.
Awesome. Well, I hope it all goes well. I'm sure it will. But in the meantime, let's go and enjoy some lunch. Thank you, Amber. Thank you. I'm with Nick Richardson, Marketing Advisors for Schools. Nick, I understand that you're doing a series of free AI in Schools webinars. Is that right?
That's right, Simon. So these are AI webinars in collaboration with AMCIS. I think everyone is a little bit daunted by AI at the moment. So what we've decided to do with this collaboration partnership is to look at how we can help schools through a series of webinars. So there's going to be four. We're going to be starting off with The Coming Wave, which is a book by Mustafa Suleiman and with Michael Basker, and he will be joining us on the first webinar on the 24th of May.
Okay, 24th of May. Where can people find out more about these?
So you can find out more at the AMCIS conference, but if you don't attend the conference, then online, if you go marketingadvisors.co.uk, you can find details there, or actually on the AMCIS website as well.
Perfect. Okay. And if people want to connect with you on LinkedIn, are you there?
So I am on LinkedIn. So Nick P. Richardson is my LinkedIn profile. So you can find me there, or Marketing Advisors for Schools. If you search for us on LinkedIn or any of the social media channels, you'll see us there.
I love that. Nick, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon.
Simon Noakes, Interactive Schools. You just gave a talk in the main room, I saw. How did that go?
Well, the title of the session was about intentional personalization, the battle between AI and humans. to kind of get a good admissions experience. And the big takeout was the humans will always win. We got to separate out the difference between what is content and data. Data is used for personalization. Content is used in the personalization. Schools fail on both. And they spend a lot of time being busy fools, pushing content to all platforms and hoping the technology is going to solve their problems. And unfortunately, hope is not a strategy, Simon.
Do you think that sometimes in schools there's a bit of knee-jerk going on, like this school's doing that, therefore we should be doing this?
Yeah, 100%. Schools are the first to jump on the next tech wave or the next big idea or what's going on in the media. They just feel like it's something they have to do without strategically going, do I have a place for it? Is it going to work? And so, yeah, I think that's still too common because they're all hoping that it's going to be the silver bullet, and it's not a silver bullet.
Solid point there, Simon. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
I've just dived into one of the workshop rooms. Dan Clark's in here. Dan, you're from UBIC. Tell me how the conference is going for you so far.
We're enjoying it. It's busy. It's buzzing. You've got a real sense of people wanting to connect with people like us. And I think there's a real appetite to learn new stuff and see new things, which is what UBIC's all about, really.
Tell me a bit more about UBIC. What's different about you guys compared to other companies?
Yeah, well, I think we all produce the same product. All of us are in the business of school websites. But I think what we're trying to do is really turn that on its head and say, actually, let's put the customer at the center of what we're building here. Let's maybe put our message on the back seat a little bit and start to become very, very customer centric. And how do we do that? Well, we do that through data and understanding the audience better, and then effectively optimizing and iterating those experiences over the course of time. And so that's what we're doing that's different, is really bringing a data set that no one's ever seen before, that then leads into being able to make decisions or to understand our audience in a way that we haven't been able to give the schools that we work with. And that really drives results, which is what I care about, is websites should look beautiful. I think that's a given, but what if we could increase inquiries by 200%.
And you're giving a talk this afternoon. I hope all of that goes well. I'm sure it will. I hope you get good numbers of people there. Dan Clark, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I'm with Jennifer Hurst now from Queen Mary's in, is it North Yorkshire?
It is North Yorkshire, beautiful part of the world.
It is. I've been there and I've experienced it, and it is, I'm testament to that. Jennifer, tell me about being on the AMCIS board. What does that actually mean?
We're a bit like the governors of a school, the team at AMCIS, Tori and her team, do a fantastic job, and we're there to support her and to give her insight into what's going on in the independent school sector in the schools, to make all these events truly amazing.
Now, of course, Tori's been here for a long time. That's coming to an end at some point in the near future. Someone's got some fairly large shoes to fill there. How do you feel about all of this?
Well, there will be large shoes to fill, but also it's a chance that we can actually take AMCIS and then take it to another level as well, and take it forward. So it's a lot of chance to celebrate over the next 12 months, but also a chance to reflect and look to the future as well.
Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that brings me to the end of the AMCIS Conference 2024. It's been great being there. Great to talk to some of the speakers who are here, the representatives from different schools, the suppliers who are here exhibiting, and especially those sponsoring the event. A big shout out to Interactive Schools, UBIC Education, ITQ Metis, IFF Digital, and Open Apply. A follow-up episode will be coming out soon where I speak to two AMCIS members who are here at the event. So if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, then now is the time to do it. It just makes sure you don't miss it when that comes out. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. And bye for now.